When I see people that are suffering, and they are suffering with diseases, and they are suffering with all kinds of burdens and problems, and a system they can't afford, and a healthcare system that is out of control, and government bureaucracy people that stick up there in that beltway in Washington, that piece of swamp, you know what, and they fix nothing, and then we got all these government agencies that don't do a damn thing. In the meantime, we got vultures that are shitting on us as we're walking outside with the dog, and you got the whole world is going to hell in a handbag. What do you say to that?
And then, Malcolm, it's the 1% of the world and these people in the shadows and government and corporations that are controlling the 99%.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. So there was a time when, I used to have maybe a couple cups of coffee in the morning, and I thought, you hear all these reports, coffee's not good for you. Don't drink the coffee, what have you. So I'm drinking the coffee, a couple of cups, and then I'm reading articles. It's a couple of years back now, and I'm reading stories that say, no, you got to have 4 or 5 cups. If you want the real coffee beans to help your system out, like they can really help you, you got to have like 4 or 5 cups a day. And I thought, hell, here they're telling me not to have 2, have 5. And so then you start reading more and more. So it's all this moderation stuff and lifestyle and kind of extreme. Then, it kind of goes from lifestyle, moderation to addiction, and where's all that fall in between? And then the real puzzle of all this is what's good for you and what's not good for you, like your body, because this is like such a big deal. I mean, listen, let's call it right up front here that there's so much being put in the foods today, and so much being put in the drinks, and so much that we are, suspect to in our dealings in our everyday lives that you really don't know. And this is probably where a lot of these causes of cancers and health problems come from. And it's unsettling. I don't know. There's something about it. And, if we could get some people to really focus on this subject and attention, I bet you we could all live another 10, 20 years a healthier life. Well, at least that's my suggestion anyways, huh? It's Malcolm Out Loud here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2, friends. And listen, this is very interesting today. And there's a lot of stories I've been reading. And one particular story came to my attention that I was looking that dementia was being linked to chronic boozing. And dementia is something that concerns me. I see a lot of people when they get to those twilight years. I've seen it with my, my parents and relatives and people around me and in-laws and others. And, and it's a sad because they're at that point of life that they should be enjoying life and just having a grand old time. And then dementia sinks in. And then it's like, then Alzheimer's. And I just hate that stuff. It just pulls the worst of us down, and it just, we got to fix this dementia business. But back to that drink, that occasional drink or two you're having in the day, is that too much, too little? I wonder if the same rules apply to drinking a glass of wine that apply to coffee. 2 glasses versus 5, right? That might make a little difference. Might make your liver behave unsettling here. Well, listen, our co-host on the show today, with us today, is Susan Price is here. Well, Susan, as you know already, she's a patriot, investigative researcher, Gold Star mother. She's a veteran advocate for justice. Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Linda Martinelli is here. She's an entrepreneur, owner, president of Proforma Graphic Print Source. Ladies, it's great to have you on this conversation. So this is a whole mix of, to me, lifestyle, sometimes doing the wrong things. It's funny because a lot of the articles and stuff you're seeing now and lifestyle type pieces, it's like, it's like all the things we were taught when we were younger, ladies. It's like, okay, if you do the wrong things, you'll actually live longer. And I said, what? What are they talking about? Like if you do the wrong things we were taught that were no good for you. I remember my dad having a cup of coffee in the morning. I remember back then and as a little boy, and I remember coffee being supposed to be not so good. Like people were like coffee was poo-pooed. But now you see the reports and they're saying, no, this coffee bean actually has a lot of health benefits. Now, Linda, do you drink coffee?
I love coffee. I
You do.
drink
Now, do you have two
coffee.
cups or five?
I probably make about four, put it in my cup, but the truth is I only drink it while it's really hot, so I probably only get maybe two cups out of it a day.
Okay, so you're
But
not getting
I
the
drink
health
it. I
benefits.
just yeah, probably I need to drink more and I'm
More
happy to.
coffee. It's what they're saying. Susan, how many cups are you drinking a day?
I drink two, Malcolm,
See,
or
you're not
Dan,
getting the
if
health benefits either. What the hell's the matter with you
I
people? Faye, what are you drinking?
do. Zero.
You don't drink coffee. Oh boy,
No.
so you're not drinking coffee at
I'm
all
a
then. Wow.
tea drinker, and occasionally I'll drink a cup of decaf in the winter, maybe once or twice. That's it.
Decaf. You're one of those decaf totalers there. Does caffeine bother you?
Yes, it does. I'll be up for days.
Yeah, I hear people say that. I don't know what that means. That's weird to me. Like, do you all, does caffeine bother you? Linda, does it impact you, caffeine like that? Like,
No,
no.
I can drink it before I go to bed and I'm fine. But my husband, if he has a cup of coffee before he goes to bed, he's up all night. So I guess it's just different people's metabolisms or whatever.
Isn't that weird how it impacts us all differently, Linda? Susan, does it impact you? Can you drink coffee later in the day, or are you up all night with it?
You know what? I find I can drink it up to about 10 o'clock at night. After that, it will keep
Yeah.
me up.
Yeah. Linda, you and I, again, we have something in common here, love, because I can have a cup of coffee, rather. Put in a glass, you'll break the glass, obviously. The hot, right? Hot don't do well in glass, ladies, I believe, unless they figured that out. Sometimes a glass is made for that with the right temperature. But I can have a hot cup of coffee at, whatever, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, even, Linda, and it doesn't impact me at all. I can go to sleep. When I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm ready to go to sleep. So caffeine doesn't have that impact on me. I wonder what that is within our metabolisms and all that make that a little different. But here's the thing. So the health benefits they're saying of coffee is tremendous. And that the more you read into this and you start seeing, evidently it's within the coffee bean itself. So in fact, if you look at that story I showed you ladies earlier in Inc. magazine. Now, Inc. is a really good publication. They always have great stuff in Inc. And it says, love coffee? Surprise, you probably aren't drinking enough according to science. So it turns out there's more than just, as they say here, the perfect cup of coffee here. It's about how much you have. So there's something in this coffee bean that is really good for our system. Did you read into that article at all, Linda? Did you have a chance to check that out?
I did, and it's the antioxidants that are good for you.
Exactly.
And a while back, if and you remember because you made mention of it, they said that coffee was bad for
Oh,
you.
yeah.
So, and I was really disappointed, but I didn't change my habit
Exactly.
because they come out all the time and they say this is bad, and now it's good, and now it's bad, and so I just kept drinking my coffee, and now they say it's good. But I just think that, what feels good for your body is probably a good thing. I mean, anything in moderation is okay, I think, but not, it's just when you overdo these things, it's crazy. But the antioxidants has come out to be a big deal, and it's in a lot of different things that we eat or drink, and that's been proven to be something that's very healthy for you. So I'll be drinking coffee.
Now, Linda, listen to this. Let's tell listeners now. Listen to what I tell you next here about this coffee before we move off of this here. It can lower your risk for some of the most common cancers, such as breast, colorectal, colon, prostate cancer, all kinds of things. It lowers your risk for cardiovascular disease. It reduces your risk for both type 2 diabetes and Parkinson's disease by 30%, ladies.
That's
30%.
huge.
It's huge. Now, so I don't know, you may want to start having a cup of coffee or two or three or five, Dr. Faye. You're not having any coffee, so
No,
no.
I'll choose something else. There are other ways of getting those same benefits,
Well, there may
not
be, I don't
just,
know, but coffee
yeah.
drinkers tend to live longer than non-coffee drinkers is the result of this massive research they've done here. Sort of like, and I will say this, green tea and dark chocolate as well as those antioxidants. Back to
Well,
what you just said,
I
Faye.
drink a lot of green
Green
tea,
tea? Yeah, I do
and
too.
I do like chocolate, but because of the caffeine in the chocolate,
Oh boy.
I don't yeah, I don't eat a lot of it, but I could, but
Well, I'm
I
in good
can't.
shape because I drink a lot of coffee. I love green tea and I love dark chocolate. Hell, I'm going to live forever, Susan Price. You know, what do you think of that? Now, I mean, come on. Look at all this. I mean, you drink all that. Look at the health benefits. Wow.
I know, but is it coffee or is it what coffee does? You know?
Explain.
Because you mentioned that it gives longevity, it has antioxidants, but there are other products also and other foods that have antioxidants as well.
Sure.
And because coffee is liquid, of course, it goes right to the bloodstream. But there are other ways to get the same results, is what I'm saying.
Right, right. Well, as I say,
I don't have to become a coffee addict.
All right. Well, dark chocolate does it. Green tea does it. Another thing that's really good for you is avocado.
Yeah, I love avocado.
You like avocado, all right. Avocado's good for you. There's something that, and you know what else is great? Oh, you know, I got to share with you. I just had a bunch this morning. You know what else you got to eat a lot of that's great for your brain food? Do you all like blueberries? Do you eat blueberries?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah, and they're full of antioxidants, too.
Got to have the blueberries are brain food. You got to have blueberries. I just had a bowl of them this morning. That's why I'm so smart, ladies.
Yeah,
with whipped cream.
I didn't have whipped cream.
Feel your berries falling.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were supposed to say back, Faye, you're not just smart, but you're a smart ass, Malcolm. Okay, that's what you're, I thought somebody was going to pick up on, but you didn't do that, ladies. Come on. You're slipping today here. So, all right, with all of that, I mean, the coffee thing is very, very interesting to me within a lifestyle and the benefits of that. I find very, very intriguing and how we research that more and how it's impacting you. And the things you're doing. But let's talk about this other one there. And I know it's very interesting to you, Dr. Faye, as well, you mentioned coming into the discussion today, is the dementia. Now, dementia is something that really worries me, ladies, for the people. I just see people suffer with this. And I really became more conscious and more aware of this, quite frankly, when our dear President Ronald Reagan had it in his later years and the end of with Alzheimer's. And I really became more conscious of it. That really bothered me as a young boy, as a younger person, that, you know, that somebody so worthy and had done so many things for the world, and now this man had dementia. What a sad state when he lived his final years with Nancy Reagan, you know, and the way they lived it. I thought to myself right then, God, we've got to find a solution and an answer to this dementia stuff in this lifetime. We've got to find this.
Yeah,
and I keep hearing reports that they're, you know, almost there, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. And well, I'll tell you, I just hope they get it quickly, because there's a lot of people who get this. And it's the saddest state of living, is to not be able to know your name or know your spouse or your best friend's name or know what happened yesterday. I mean, how sad is that, ladies?
It's very sad, and I've had to sit at a doctor's office with a family member, and the doctor tell them to, they do a test to determine whether or not you are pre-dementia or early stages, and in this test, this family member was to draw a clock and put the numbers where they belong on this clock, and they could not remember where the numbers were.
What?
Yeah.
How old are they?
Well, that's 87 years old.
Oh.
But 87 doesn't mean that I need to lose that, you know, my function, my ability to think clearly. It's not an age factor. Dementia is a disease that's now taking over in younger people.
But you don't see that as much in younger people. You relate it to being older, Dr. Faye, because
Right.
Yeah. So why is that?
But it's still problematic. I don't know, because I've been reading and doing a lot of studies on it because of having to be a caretaker and a personally involved with it, and to know that the brain is not functioning the way it used to. That part of the brain shuts down at 3:00 p.m. in the afternoon, and the person can function in the mornings where they can't function in the afternoons. They can remember things from 50 years ago, but 5 minutes ago, they may not recall that information.
Right.
So a lot of studies are still being done on it. And
They're studying everything.
Yeah, they're always studying.
And I wanted to add to that, too, because I was a caregiver for many years, over 25 years, for the elderly and Alzheimer's. I have a lot of scientist friends, and from what they've been studying and they've talked about and in their books, the stuff that they're spewing into the air, all the chemicals and the metals, the heavy metals that are falling from the air mm-hmm. are getting into our foods.
Right.
And we're all toxic.
That's
it. And that some of that goes to the brain barrier. And that's really the true reason, to be honest with you. These scientists are amazing people with a wealth of information. And that's what they've shared with me. And but a lot of people don't know this because they're not in that world. You know what I mean?
Have they figured out a genetic link at all?
Well, you know, there are genetic links, but see, and it's just like autism, the increase in everything. again, Malcolm, I always use this word. This is my word. When you hear Susan Price, you'll hear me say weaponization. Yes, weaponization.
I know what you're going to say. I heard you say it all the time.
And then you know what? And I believe it.
It's your adjective.
In that article, they talk about the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. another one of George Soros' organizations. So, I'm just going to do an article on him and all his organizations.
Well, you should, because you speak about him not too fondly, you speak about him often enough.
He's so sinister, and he's one of the top people that take down everything, every aspect of our life. So, yes, some of it is genetic and all that, but...
I have a question, Susan.
Yeah.
Do they explain why it can, if whatever's going on in the air, that it can affect one person and not the another person in the same household?
Well, it's affected a lot of people, and we don't even know how much we're all affected on different mm-hmm. degrees right. of mm-hmm. toxicity. Actually, I've worked with a company, and we have a product. I can't tell you the name. But the FDA has encumbered it, and we're trying to break loose from that. I was actually brought in to market this product a few years ago. And you can test it under your tongue, just like a DNA test. Wow. It's actually more accurate than a blood test.
Wow.
It's like 96.3% accuracy rate. And our government has encumbered that patent. It could help so many people.
It's a test for toxins in your body?
Yeah, everything. Glyphosates, and it tells what metals are in. See, when you're so toxic, you can't even lose weight. And most people mm-hmm. don't attribute weight gain to toxicity. Mm-hmm. They say I'm eating the right fruits and vegetables. It has nothing to do with that. I mean, coffee beans, you know, they grow, you know, they too can be contaminated. Everything, all our food and drink sources and beverages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is a big aspect of it.
I need to remind
folks. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent.
Remind folks right now that Susan Price works for the secret police society of the universe.
No, I don't. I just know.
You work for the secret police of society, the universal galactical organization that they are. And you know everything.
I wish I got paid that.
Well, you kind of sort of know where all the bones are buried, it seems. Or she has friends who
know
where
a lot
of bones
are.
Yeah, she knows where the bones are buried. Susie Price is not the kind of gal you want to piss off, let's say. She said, I'll get my Uncle Eddie after you. You better watch out. She got an Uncle Eddie and a cousin Frank.
I'll go
Frank.
New York on you in a hot second.
Uncle Eddie and cousin Frank. I know who they are, Susan Price. You're not going to kid me. You know, there is a big story here about our lifestyle I want to talk to you about. There is, Susan's on to something big, and I think we all need to pay attention because I am really convinced of something. I want to tell you what that something is in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, friends, we're back with you here. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. And we're here with Dr. Faye Wilson. Susan Price, Linda Martinelli are here, our co-host. Well, we're talking about all these things, about how much is too much and the quality of life, such as the coffee and the alcohol, and then you got the dementia and the Alzheimer's and the quality of life. And as you heard our correspondent before the break, the that works for the secret police of the Universe Galactical Organization, Susan Price, she says that, you know, that there's a bit of a conspiracy going on here, that this shit is falling from the sky, and it's not good stuff. You know, I was outside the other day, ladies, and there were a bunch of birds. They're like, there's a name for them. It's like a southern vulture almost. There's these hawks. They fly like way, way up in the sky, like, and they just circle around. You know, they circle and circle, and I thought, what happens when one of those relieves themselves and takes a dump and you're walking outside? Does that mean you got that on your head or something, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, see what I worried about?
I have them in my backyard every day.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew they were dumping on me, Linda. I just didn't know how bad it was, but now I know. Well, listen.
I have never been dumped on by them, Malcolm.
You've never been dumped on? You haven't lived then, sister. Let me tell you.
I have not lived.
You've got to be dumped on by the bad vultures here. So here's the thing. Susan, picking up where you were last, I want to, in all sincerity, say this. I am 1,000,000% convinced, 1,000,000%, friends, the quality of life around the world and certainly in this country could increase dramatically if the powers to be would put their focus, mind, and attention on all the things we're talking about here and a whole lot more. There is so much that is wrong with our system. The FDA is not doing a good job. They are simply not doing it. These overburdensome, bureaucracy-driven governmental agencies that are being bogged down like boat anchors out in the middle of an ocean somewhere, they have got to be replaced with lean, mean, new type organizations. Maybe in the future they're run by artificial intelligent folks. I don't know. But there is a lot we could do to live a more quality, focused life on this planet. I don't think human beings have done a good job in this category. I think we are our own enemy. I think we have shortened our own lifespans. And I think the quality of life and the disease factor that sets in, and of course the medical field and the healthcare organization, they're having a field day with this. Think about the money that is being made from all of this bad stuff.
Exactly.
But I got to tell you, it's everywhere. And I've gotten really onto this stuff as I've gotten older now. And it really rubs me when I see people that are suffering. And they are suffering with diseases, and they are suffering with all kinds of burdensome problems, and a system they can't afford, and a healthcare system mm-hmm. that is out of control, mm-hmm. and
right.
government bureaucracy people that stick up there in that beltway in Washington, that piece of swamp, mm-hmm. you know what, and they fix nothing. And then we got all these government mm-hmm. agencies that don't do a damn thing. In the meantime, we got vultures that are shitting on us as we're walking outside with the dog, and you got the whole world is going to hell in a handbag. What do you say to that?
And then, Malcolm, it's the 1% of the world and these people in the shadows and government and corporations that are controlling the 99%. So, and then let me tell you, my friend Dr. David Lewis, who wrote the book Science for Sale, he was the head researcher at one time for the EPA. They wanted him to lie about all his studies. And he said, the hell with you. I'm not doing it. He wrote the book Science for Sale. So people got to read it. So I know.
Susan,
I have
could you
other
introduce,
friends.
Don't let me forget to tell you.
I will.
Introduce him, you and I, so we can get on a radio show.
Yes.
I want to have him on, okay?
I will. He's writing two more books. But
let's
maybe
get him on our nightly news
for
program. Does he like to talk about news, politics, life, and who's screwing us over?
You know what? He loves the health, the field that he's in. He's a master at it. So
yeah, let's bring him on.
And
let's
I just
talk
saw him a couple months ago. Yes, we will. We'll get them on.
Yeah,
get them
let's
on the
not
show.
forget that, because you have some really fascinating people in your secret society of galactic
Thank you.
organizational police. And I think we need to connect with some of these cats. You know, Faye, when I'm talking about love,
I
mean,
I know. Yeah? And I have a question. I have a question for everyone. You know, you were talking about the vultures pooping on your head. I thought about a number of things, but what I really thought about is the number of birds that fall from the sky. And what Susan was sharing, I remember a few years ago, I think it was 2011, when 5,000 red-winged birds fell in the state of Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
And they did the research, and they came back, the government came back and said, oh, these birds fell because of the noise and the crashes.
Yeah, right.
With 10 to 20 billion birds flying in this in America over an annual base, over half of them.
What year
are
did that happen, Dr. Faye? Do you remember?
2011.
I remember the story. That's why I ask you. I remember reading how freaky the whole story was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with that story? What do you think's behind it?
I don't know.
Hillary Clinton.
I knew it. I told you. There she is. The secret society police of the galactic universes. I told you.
I didn't hear that story, but I wonder if it's something like, you know, somebody spraying some pesticide or something like that, and the cloud of it goes up in the air. I mean, there's so many different things that it could be with the toxic substances that we have. And I'll tell you, I didn't know when I left California and moved to Texas, I did not know until I moved how bad the air I was breathing in California was.
Oh, yeah.
And when I get to Texas, I see that it's so much better. So I'm sure that the animals
You know
have
why
the
that
same...
is, Linda? You know why that is in California? Oh, yeah. Well, because the Hollywood actors and actresses in the entertainment industry have a lot of gas.
Well, you know the law that they put out about in California about cows having gas? They ought to do the same thing about the Hollywood crowd.
It's the entertainers. Well, they get a lot of gas.
Linda, most people, that's the barium, strontium, aluminum, and all the other nanofibers and particles that they've sprayed into the air. And you can see it because there's one thing that a jet will leave a trace in the sky.
Right.
But then when you have this big, long cloud and you can see at least the air cloudy for days, that's not good. Those are the chemicals.
I just thought I needed to clean my glasses, for God's sakes, Susan. I didn't know how bad it was. You know, Linda, we got to be careful how far we go. When you start talking chemicals and all of that stuff, you'll wind Susan Price up like you've never seen before, honey, because she knows a little bit about this stuff. Believe me. Don't even go there, sister. You start talking that stuff and you're going to get Price all wound up here. I'm telling you.
Well, it affects our coffee, and that's the subject.
Amen. Yes. Well, that and a drink, a glass of wine. Now, let's talk about this alcohol dementia connection a moment, please. Because here's what they're saying, and I want to inform people now what the gospel truth is, okay? And, of course, I don't really know if it's the gospel truth. I just know that it happens to be in a publication, and if they say it's true, it must be true. And, of course, if they say they did a research on it, it must be true, right? I mean, come on. So the Susan's favorite organization in the world, the World Health Organization, also known as WHO? I said WHO. World Health Organization. Well, they define chronic heavy drinking as more than 60 grams of pure alcohol, which is six or more standard drinks a day for men, and an excess of 40 grams per day for women. So probably about four glasses for women, six for men. Now, that's called excessive. Well, no kidding, Cinderella. I mean, you can't have to be brilliant to figure that out. That's considered chronic heavy drink. And I think we all agree with that. Susan, you don't disagree with that, right? I mean, you'll give WHO some credit for that statement. Come on. All right, so the study they did, researchers combed through the medical records of more than a million adults. Now, this is in France. Now, we know in France they drink a lot, so let's be clear. And they're diagnosed with dementia from 2008 to 2013. Then these people that were diagnosed already with dementia. Well, the link with alcohol was unmistakable. It just led to suggest screening. They say brief interventions for heavy drinking and alcoholism treatment to help reduce the cognitive decline. It's interesting because there's a tipping point on this. So what they're saying is, in fact, if you look and read up on the health benefits of wine and things like that, and even pure alcohol of some sort, believe it or not, friends, there are actually health benefits from one or two glasses a day, period. Once you cross the border of that, a couple glasses, you're into other problems that it's going to impact your organs. Your certainly things like your liver are going to be impacted for sure. Your heart, other problems you'll have. And so that's where the borderline is on this. But back to the dementia thing, Dr. Fay, which you were concerned with, as I am as well, talking about here. So they're trying to establish a link between heavy drinking and smoking, depression, and low educational attainment, all risk factors for dementia. Wow, that's an interesting way to put that out there. Well, the study, based on discharge records from these hospitals over a 6-year period, ladies, excluded patients with diseases linked to rare dementias and people with early life mental health disorders. So, during the same period, now follow me here. There were almost 95,000 people. More than 85% of them were alcohol dependent. So pretty much the whole place is drunk, diagnosed with alcoholic use disorders. What did I say? They drink a lot in France. And what I said a minute ago? Yeah. Our findings suggest, they say, that the burden of dementia is attributable to alcohol use disorders is much larger than previously thought. Heavy drinking should be recognized as a major risk factor for all types of dementia. So, to say the least, alcohol consumption on that level. So let me go around and ask you, Linda, how many glasses of wine or vodka tonic or whatever else you're drinking a night are you having? Be honest.
None per night. I would say 2 to 4 glasses a week
Wow,
of
you're a
wine.
good girl.
I
Two to
only
four
drink
a
wine.
week. Wow, all
It only
right.
takes me about one to get looped, so
Oh, you're one of those. I know
I
women like that, and they're
don't
hysterical. They're so funny. You give them a couple of tastes, and they're tipsy. They're like Cinderella at the ball, you know?
lot. That's funny.
So, Dr. Faye, how many glasses of wine or vodka tonic do you have in a week?
About 12. No, none. None.
You don't drink at all.
No, sir, I do
So
not.
you have no coffee, no wine. Oh my
No
golly!
fun, right?
I thought
Not
you
to
were living
say
an
the
exciting
red
life over
wine.
there, my friend. I
I
am
am living
saddened
an
to hear
excited
this.
life. I'm sober.
You're sober. What the hell purpose is
I'm
that for?
happy.
You can't live in this life and be totally sober, Faye. Come on, get with it. What's the matter for you?
The
What a
red wine is also full of antioxidants,
Hello,
so it's
Margaret.
a
I
good
mean,
thing.
what a
But
freakaloid
I don't
she's
like
being
it.
today, ladies.
Oh,
Listen to her.
I have absolutely nothing against
Nothing.
someone drinking a glass of red wine. I
All
don't
right.
like it.
All right. All right. If you don't have anything against that, I don't have anything against you being Saint Faye and not having any either. So that's okay. Susan Price, what are you doing? Tell me here, how many are you having a night
Well,
today?
when I get my sip on, I usually do about 2 to 3, but I'm only a social drinker, so that only happens a couple times a month. So
Oh, so that's not an
just
every night
that.
occurrence.
No, are you
Now, when
kidding?
you say you get your, did you say you get your slip on?
Her
No,
sip,
when I get
her
my
sip.
sip,
Oh.
I need to get my sip on a little bit more often, it sounds
Oh,
like
I
that,
thought you were
but
getting your slip on or something and getting like sexy and
yeah.
comfortable or something a moment ago. I wasn't
My
sure what you were.
SIP, my sip.
Okay, gotcha, sister. I didn't hear with that accent of yours. Okay, perfect, perfect. Okay,
Nah,
so on a nightly basis, do you have a glass or no or two or?
I probably should, but I'm a social drinker. I just don't enjoy, it's part of interaction for me, and I don't know
Yeah,
why.
yeah,
I
yeah.
just
But you can have a
enjoy it
social
more.
drink with you and the radio or the television is social
I
too,
could,
Sue. You don't
but
need a human being
I
there.
usually have a grandkid somewhere around, and I just you can't enjoy that when there's other activities
I
going
think when
on.
you got the grandkids
But
around a lot, that's more reason to have another drink. My
well,
golly.
when I leave them, it
And give them one too.
Yeah, give them a glass of lemonade, a little lemonade in their little
Yeah.
thing, and they're happy there. They think they're having a big drink with you. You can put it in a little glass, you know. Oh yeah, we're living it up, man. All right. So that's the borderline. So you're not all. None of you are in major risk within this study, then. You're all doing pretty good, right?
Well,
Right.
within this study, we're doing well. I think you get dementia a lot of times, whether you drink or not, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. No. This isn't the only way mechanism into getting dementia. Absolutely. There's a whole lot of reasons. One of the biggest reasons, let's go right there, Linda, right now, because you bring up a great point, hon. And dementia and Alzheimer's is such a sad state. This is something I really am passionate about. In all sincerity, Susan, Linda, Faye, this I'm really passionate about this because I told you, I loved our president, Ronald Reagan. That was really, as a young man, that impacted me a great deal. I seen the sadness that that family went through and what had happened, and I thought, he was a national treasure, and it was so sad to see him lose those beautiful years of his life. And you understand what I mean? It really impacted me as a young man, you know? And I thought, we've got to find an answer to this. We've got to find a resolution to this in our lifetime. There's no reason why we can't. See, this is what bothers me about, Susan, back to what you say with your secret police and galactical organization of, nerds there you hang with all the time here.
They have the answers. They're
Well, that's
there.
what
They're
I'm, there
just
it is, honey. Susan.
capitalizing off of them. This is money in the coffers.
See,
They're
Susan, this is,
keeping that
let's talk,
from us.
Susan.
But
Susan,
why would they
let's
keep it?
talk.
Why? I
Well,
mean, if
let's
they made
talk.
a drug for
Because it's
this.
big money.
All
It's big money, ladies. And the people that do this, the 1%, money is their God.
Yeah.
They don't think like
Mm.
we do. You can't even wrap your mind around the things they do, or the things, the sinister and nefarious activities and the
And
world they live in.
wouldn't the drug companies make a ton of money if they could come out with a drug for this and people wouldn't get it?
Linda,
They do.
stop a
They,
minute.
Linda, they listen. They have. Look at this is first. President Trump said he has to drain the swamp. He said there are patents he wants to release, but first things first, we have to get the criminals that control these corporations and businesses out of power first.
The measurement, when you say, Linda, why aren't they fixing? Why aren't they doing? Because here's what help happens. Big pharma, big pharma, who's making all of this massive loads of money. They got so much money, they wake up in the morning and their walls are wallpapered with it, Linda. They actually, in the evening for happy hour, they light it on fire and smoke it as cigars when they're drinking their high-priced wines and liquor. So this gives you an example of what they're doing. So this big pharma executives, these are all Lucifer's family. These are his family members that he hangs with on a regular basis. And so they're all in there. And Linda, they're making a massive truckload of money from all these diseases and ailments and problems and stuff. All these medical ads that are on TV, like so many an hour. Get this, get that. You'll live. You'll have better sex, better life, better this, better that. You'll walk better. You'll breathe. You'll do this. You'll take this, take that, take the other. All of that medication. In these, and included the psychotropic drugs and the whole thing, we got all the educators on and everything else. And you got all of that. The money they're making from that is massive. Now, if they solve that problem, Linda, do you realize the money field that would be turned off, for God's sakes? I mean, there would be just, they're not going to nearly get the money back from the good pill. It's better to keep everybody dumb, deaf, stupid, and sick. And if we're dumb, deaf, stupid, and sick, we keep buying their crap. We keep giving them their money so they can do their things, and this is how life goes on. I'll tell you, people, I'm on to it. Makes me sick. I'm going to go get another bowl of blueberries. I'll be back with you in a minute here. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, friends, we are back with you here. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. It's Malcolm Out Loud here, and we have here Dr. Faye Wilson, Susan Price, and the belle of the ball here. The one and the only Cinderella-esque Linda Martinelli is here. And I was just expressing to her during the break as we're coming back on, and she's saying, Malcolm, you do have another article here with all the good stuff. And, this would be really good to talk about this. And I agree, Linda, because this was in Oprah.com. And of course, as you know, Oprah is gonna wait. She's waiting for God to tell her to run for president, and then she's gonna run for president. We hope that God speaks to her soon, that this will happen. Now, the girls on The View are not ridiculing her. They're okay with her talking to God and God talking back. They just don't want the vice president doing that. I know I'm getting political for a moment, ladies, but I'm having a ball with this conversation, I have to tell you. So the girls on The View, who probably are having too much alcohol and too much Big Pharma drugs or whatever they're on, I don't know, but you know they're all on something, ladies. Come on, come on, come on. That Joy, I mean, she's got a one-way ticket somewhere. I don't know what she's on, but you know she's right in that swamp with the rest of them. All right, I'm wound up here. Let's get into these healthy habits and talk about something positive, so I'll shut the hell up a minute here. So 5 healthy habits that might actually be hurting us. So Linda, too much of a good thing they talk about. And I'll tell you what. So, Linda, they talk about sleep. They talk about drinking milk, which milk is really not supposed to be good for you, they say. So I don't really understand that one. Olive oil is fantastic for you. Running is really good for you if you run. Brushing your teeth, brushing your teeth. And I always say to my kids, Linda, my two kids, did you brush your teeth? Did you wipe your bum? You got to brush your teeth and wipe your bum on a daily basis. Knock it off. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, I really like this article because I agree with everything it says. So starting with sleeping, you know, I worry a lot of times that I don't get enough sleep. And I was very encouraged by reading this, that I don't need that much sleep, that if you get too much sleep, especially, you know, when you're a teenager, you sleep, I think, all the time.
Right.
But as you get older, you don't need as much sleep. So I don't know if you've ever been in bed a little bit too long and you wake up with a headache and so forth because you've been sleeping too long. And that's basically, this article talks about that if you sleep too much, that it elevates your inflammatory markers and that you can be more prone to, say, type 2 diabetes and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I was really good with reading that because I don't get a lot of sleep, and I think you don't either, Malcolm. So
well, when you say a lot of sleep, no, because, you know, the schedule is what it is. But I have learned in my life that the balance of sleep and working and playing is very, very important.
Everything of what we're talking about is everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation.
Every person has a different
mechanism. Yeah, some people need 8-9 hours to sleep. How many hours are you sleeping a night, Linda?
I probably sleep, I would say 6 to 7 at the most.
6 to 7?
But I'm good with that. And if I have a chance on the weekend, if there's ever an opportunity that I can sneak in an hour nap, I love doing that.
Wow.
Some people don't like that,
wow,
but I absolutely love that. But I could never do it during a work day. But I'm also good if I have to pull a all-nighter to work or do something like that, or drive all night because we're driving back and forth across the country. You know, I have no problem with it. I have no problem staying up all night.
Right.
But I, you know, it's everything in moderation, and everybody has to figure out what works for their own body, right? When I say body, I don't mean everybody. I mean everybody has to figure out what works for them, and everybody's different. So, you know, you can take some sort of drug and not have a reaction, and I can take the same drug and have a reaction. So we all have to figure out what
works
for us.
Well, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, now everything I've read is if you're sleeping 8 hours or more. Now, some people say 8 hours is the magic number. Some people say 7. And then there are those busy people who only need 4. I tend to, you know, I'm probably averaging about, you know, maybe 5 hours a night kind of thing. They say more than 8 is very unhealthy for you, that it will create. In fact, that's another thing, Dr. Fay, that they say that will, I've read studies that say that will give you dementia as well, by sleeping too much, and sleeping more than 8 hours a day will mess you up.
Yeah, I think as an adult, if you're sleeping more than that, then there's some type of depression there, and you have to really get some help for that. But I think I agree with the article, and I agree with what's been said, and that each person, there are seasons in our lives that, like you were talking about, Malcolm, that you're in the trenches,
sure,
and your clock is different.
Different seasons and of God our life. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and God has graced us enough that if there's a season where I have to be up, you know, and not get that sleep, then I will be okay.
That's a great point.
Because I move into the next season where, okay, that project is completed. Now I can rest.
But how many hours a night, Dr. Fay, are you sleeping, love?
I average is crazy. I average right now maybe 4 or 5, but this
Okay.
is what I do. This is what I
You're in the
do.
same world as I am then, love.
Yeah, I pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I do. I make sure at some point in the afternoon,
Right.
I've learned that I need to step aside
Exactly.
and take a break.
Exactly.
Get me a little bit of rest, maybe 15-minute power nap if I can,
Right.
and then come back or go for a walk, do something different to break that. And,
Exactly.
yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm like Dr. Faye. I sleep 4 to 5 hours.
Okay.
I'd never sleep more than 5 hours. And maybe once a month I'll get to sleep in and get 6 hours. But lifestyle and just, what you have on your agenda and that calls
Do
and
you think that
taking
all is,
care of business.
Susan, because do you think that maybe the reason is, let's talk about that a second, the 4 or 5 hours. Do you think maybe the reason is because we are all on a mission?
I do believe that we have a passion burning inside of us that we want to get up. Where I feel like I'm going to miss out. If I'm not up at 6 in the morning, I feel like I'm going to miss out. I got to get
Well,
showered,
because we
get
got
my
shit to do,
coffee, see
Susan.
what's going
We got a
on.
lot of shit to do,
Right.
so we got to do it, man. You know,
Right.
it's the way it is.
That's right.
And
That's
I think
how
that's
I
what keeps
feel.
your brain active, and that's what keeps things like dementia at bay, Well, that's where I was
is
going earlier,
because,
Linda. You're so right. If you want to avoid dementia, people, here, this is what I really believe, ladies. Don't ever retire. Never retire.
I
Don't give
don't
it to
think I
them.
ever will.
But
I
that's what
don't
they
like
do,
that
Susan. Think
word.
about it. They now live this lifestyle. We were all brought up as young children. You work hard, you do this, you get to your upper 60s somewhere, maybe 70, whatever, upper 60s, whatever it is. The government changes it all the time, whatever. And then you retire. And you plan for retirement. I think it's so sadistic when I heard that over the years, and I heard my relatives and my father and so many others planning their life for retirement. Then they get to retirement. Then they really literally shut everything off and they become totally lazy. And I've seen them
Yeah,
all
but
grow
Malcolm,
guts.
you're not the
Guts.
typical 9 to 5-er. I don't think any of us on this call
Exactly,
or
exactly.
on this show are 9 to 5-ers. We're
That's right.
not. I've done everything to
That's right. I
defy
never did a
that. I
clock.
don't
No,
like
never
it.
did a clock.
Right.
Never did it.
I think what we're talking about is unplugging from the system and
Right.
having that mission that drives you more than the 8 to 5 or
That's
the
right.
number of hours of
That's right.
sleep,
That's
because
right.
that is what wakes me up at 3 a.m. Many times, because an idea will come. And we're talking when you talk about retiring, I think I wrote an article, I know I did, a few years ago, do not retire, refire. And refire yourself up. Find out what the next thing in life that you want to do and make it bigger than what you've done before. Because now you're leaving those footprints and that legacy. So
Right.
this is great conversation. I really appreciate this talk today.
I love that. Instead of retire, refire, I love that because that just gave me a chill to hear. That's exactly how I feel that we're living our life is trying to keep taking the next bigger step. And it doesn't have to be an exhausting step, although sometimes they are. I look at some of my relatives who they say, I don't know how you do this. Even my kids say, I don't know how you get up as early as you do and work as late as you do and still have any energy. And I say, I'm twice as old as you. How could you not have this energy? I mean, you're just high on life, and that's what keeps all of those things inside of us working well and helps us actually stay healthy, I think, because we're moving, we're thinking, we're active, and those things are the things that help us stay healthy.
We're not
I
turning
agree,
around.
Linda. I feel more alive with the more things that I have on my plate. The more I have going on, the more awake I am. And it's like, oh, I gotta think. I gotta constantly be thinking and doing, and that keeps you going,
Absolutely. I know that I can do more because
Exactly.
I feel the energy and I feel the presence and power of God. And Malcolm, I got to say this is since I've been co-host, since I started co-hosting with Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, my life just went boom, it went in a totally different direction, but it's all a good direction. And my purpose was redefined. My mission became clearer because I am sitting in the seat that has been preordained. So that gets me excited. And I think about the work that we're doing here, and I think about the other co-hosts and the work that they're doing. And I know that it all is part of the whole picture. And that gets me excited. I think about Jennifer and Linda and Susan and Andrea and all these different powerful hosts. I remember years ago, I was sitting in a service and I heard an elderly pastor say these words, and it has stayed with me all of these years. He said it of age, if no one kept record, who would know? Because as long as we unplug from the system that by a certain age you need to do a certain thing, if we're, long as we're plugged into that, we start adapting to the system. We start going the way of the culture rather than finding our own essence, our own power, our own joy, our own whatever, and begin to live from that place. We no longer have a clock. We no longer have an age limit as to what we can and cannot do. The living just keeps on living.
Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'm just
You
waiting
know,
for
and
somebody to
I think that should
talk.
be I think that should be our goal. That should be our focus is always what more of life, and just keep on doing that. And I think that that is the greatest defeat to what's dementia than anything else is never give up, never cave in, and never quit.
Yeah,
And even
I agree with you there.
Well, because your brain stays active then. And when your
Right, yeah.
brain is active, it doesn't have a chance to go the other way. I really do believe that's the way to stave off dementia and Alzheimer's and all of that. You got to stay really in the moment. And then as you read a lot of these reports with some of the lifestyle foods and things to avoid or not to avoid, again, and back to this one you mentioned about this really great, interesting piece. Like, for instance, there's a lot of conscious decisions we can make, like using olive oil versus butter. Okay, now clearly, any intellectual value there, you can automatically see which one. I mean, look at the richness of life. A lot of the Europeans use olive oil. I've always used olive oil. I don't. I'm not a butter person, or as they say up, or as they say up in the north, they are butter, butter. They say butter, don't they? Butter, isn't it butter versus butter? Is that what
That
they say?
sounds like Boston.
Butter. Yeah, that's what they say, butter. I got the butter. You pass the butter, please. Yeah, I'll give you the butter. Okay.
New
Now, I
York.
need some olive oil. Or I'll take some olive oil. No, I need the butter. And then getting out, having an active lifestyle and the running bit or the walking, as you say, and just the simple things of life. There are basic things, our bodies are these human machines we're in. And I've shared before with you on this show. I think it's a marvelous invention. This human body. I really am fascinated with it. And it is a marvelous invention. And I don't think it was some freakaloid accident in the universe that two things rubbed together and all of a sudden there was a human being standing there. I don't believe that the scientific idea that the Big Bang happened and we all just, fell. That's just not the way there's no way the intricacy of our bodies.
No.
How could we have come to be what we are? I mean, it's not possible. I mean, there's got
And
to.
everything else in the world as well.
Linda, and these people who say we're not really sure there's something after this. Well, again, I don't know what to tell you, kids. Just go look in the mirror and figure it out. You go, take an
That's
anatomy
so
class.
sad.
No, isn't it
Yeah,
sad,
so sad.
Susan? Huh?
And you know why? Because God has been taken out of our lives in different ways, and I don't know, they can't see past that. They haven't experienced some of the things we have, I guess. But
Well,
not that
and
we
you,
know everything. We
yeah,
don't, but
yeah.
it's really sad.
And God is not taken out of their lives, in my opinion. They're just not
Oh,
aware of his
yeah.
presence.
Right.
He's very much
Exactly.
involved in their lives. He's the one that's
Oh,
watching over
yeah.
their kids. He's the one that's watching over them. They just don't have the awareness of it. But we're here to bring awareness. So there is an answer. And so we keep bringing these messages of truth and hope and inspiration, and we're touching lives around the world. So those who do not have God's consciousness are not Christ conscious. They will begin to feel his presence even if they don't read his word. So
Within all of this lifestyle we're talking about, ladies, and the health part of it, and as you say, Dr. Faye, this balance of life, It really is all a very delicate balance. And when you appreciate and respect yourself and know that your value here on this earth is very important and momentous, there's a purpose for your being, in your destiny and your mission and your views and your dreams are all very relevant and all very passionate and all very desirable. And everybody should have this equal path to be able to accomplish all the things they want to accomplish. And you know, and on top of all of that, ladies, it is being conscious of all that, having that appreciation for life, having the balance of things, knowing how much is too much, having the willpower. A lot of it's willpower. A lot of it's your mind. It's all a mindset. Everything we've talked about today, I'm telling you, people, is a mindset. It's a mindset. Having the right mindset will tell you what to have more or less of, and to tell you wrong from right and good from evil, and all of the things that will keep you on the path of your own righteousness and of a path forward that gets you somewhere where you want to get. It really is. And I get to my point in my life and I've discovered so much now. It's like I wish I knew all this when I was 20, you know? And I do. And I wish I had maybe started taking Healthy Cell when I was 20. That would have been nice too, ladies, because I'm loving it. I love the benefits of that. I just, even when I started in the morning, because it's about, again, our cells and our being and our bodies and our minds and all of this stuff. And anyways, you get the picture here. It is a lifestyle. It is all about having the right mindset to take these things on. I want to wish all of you to have just the best day ever, the best mindset, make the best decisions. And you know what? Do what's right for you. Take a look in the mirror and tell yourself, you look marvelous today. And do what's right for you today. Do something that makes you happy, not someone else. Make yourself happy first and foremost. I don't know what that is, but you discover it and find that out. And when you find that out, email us and let us know the beautiful things you've done at talk@americaoutloud.com. Love to hear from you. Friends, thank you for joining us here on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure and a Beautiful, Happy Lifestyle. I'm going to have that olive oil with that glass of wine and five cups of coffee tomorrow morning here. Susan Price, Dr. Faye Wilson, Linda Martinelli. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.